spent a little bit of time going and trying to get this recording device going. A little bit of every once in a while run into a little problem. It's time for chapter 18 of Epiphany. I'll give you just do you a quick rundown of whatever's happened. We had, if you remember last week, Dan was bailed out of the jail in, he was bailed out of the county jail and sent to the wilderness along with Beasley to keep hiding from the sheriff for another day or two. We haven't, or he hasn't determined whether or not, or how long he's going to stay, or what's going to happen. We left him, looking at the universe and being in awe of the universe unfolding around him. A different set of night noises played around him. He almost fell asleep a couple of times before deciding it was time to go inside. After saying a short prayer for Emily and his children, he slipped into the tent, crawled over the sleeping woman inside, and wrapped himself into his sleeping bag. Chapter 18. Emily spent a restless night. She woke up several times to reach over to her missing husband, just to feel his body next to hers. She finally gave up at 4:30 in the morning and went downstairs, hoping that he had somehow escaped. She stepped out onto the back patio to face east. Daniel was out there somewhere, probably wanting her as much as she wanted him. Standing, her face lifted up, she marveled at the heavens above her. Patterns in the stars spoke of the existence of a power, God, and of the vastness of the universe surrounding her. Emily Stevens was alone, yet surrounded by love. Except for the sounds of the occasional car on the highway going around Magnolia, it was quiet. Mom? Peter's voice broke the silence. The boy joined his mother. Is Dad okay? Nah, he's fine. I know it. Peter sidled up to his mother and held her hand. Both of them were silent for a while. The door behind them opened. Gracie joined them. Then Jacob. Finally, hope. Emily took in deep breaths of the pre-dawn air, feeling the love of her family, feeling the love of God. We'll make it through this, she assured her children. We will not be abandoned. Your father will come home. Our church will be rebuilt. The children hugged their mother, believing every word she said, although she had difficulty believing it herself. By 5, the children were back in bed asleep. Emily lay in her lonely bed, still wide awake, worried about how the day would unfold. She didn't have long to wait. Almost instantly, it was 6. By 6:30, she was dressed in running shorts and a sports bra, wearing a pair of running shoes. Chloe Thompson was at her front door. Both ran out into the country, out Henry Hollow Road. Emily had to be coaxed by the younger woman to push herself just a little harder, to go just a little faster around the 5-mile loop they usually ran. By the time they returned at 7, the children were starting to stir again. Jacob was already up at the breakfast table, plugging away at some computer game Emily pretended to understand. She was okay with the gaming. It kept him out of the troubles some of his peers were experiencing. Hope sat next to him, sporting a clean pull-up and eating a bowl of cereal, obviously served by her older brother. Frank the dog came bounding down the stairs, followed closely by Grace and Peter. Instantly, the kitchen became a madhouse with a flurry of activity. The two middle children flitted in different directions to get their own breakfasts, each ignoring their siblings, favoring their own needs instead. Emily let Frank out the back door. She and Chloe took some hydration from the refrigerator, then went out to sit in the patio while the family dog patrolled the perimeter to ensure their safety. Motherhood seems to suit you, Chloe remarked once they settled from the din of the kitchen. I don't know if I'll ever be able to handle having children of my own. Well, first one's the hardest, but once you get used to having them around, you'd be amazed at how easily you can adjust, Emily told her. Sometimes you'll have to put other portions of your life on hold, but eventually you'll realize that raising children is quite rewarding as anything you'll ever do. It helps to have if you have a supportive husband, Chloe observed. Well, my understanding is that your Christopher is just as supportive, Emily pointed out. When the time comes to make the commitment, he'll be there for you. Trust me. Emily saw signs. Chloe was pregnant. She didn't know it yet, but Emily already knew. Chloe took a long pull at her water as her way to show that she was shifting gears in the conversation. So what's Dan's status this morning? Have you heard from him? Well, no, not directly, no, Emily sighed. I've been in contact with a pair of agents in West Virginia. They have Dan hiding out somewhere out of the reach of the county sheriff. The sheriff thinks that Dan's the arsonist, at least in the Davis case. The FBI thinks otherwise. Right now he's like a ping-pong ball between the sheriff and the feds. Well, you know that everyone will be asking about him at tonight's service, Chloe stated. I know, and I dread having to go through with it, but I have to. It's expected. Chloe offered to help in any way she could before heading home to change before heading to work. Emily had agreed to have lunch with her at Zeke's Cafe to discuss the situation in more detail. In the meantime, she had a house full of children to contend with. Jacob and Peter could take care of themselves, but Emily took care to remind them that they had limits. Grace volunteered to watch after Hope if both of them could go to the playground in the park. It was suggested that the pair go see their grandmother. Perhaps they could find what they needed to have high tea on their grandmother's back porch. Arrangements were made, and within half an hour, Emily was alone. She secreted herself into Dan's home study to develop an action plan for the rest of her day. She started with a prayer. It was answered with a phone call. Emily's mother was on the other end. "Do you think that Hope may be ready for a week away from both of her parents?" Mrs. Griswold asked. "Your father and I are thinking of heading up to Kelly's Island for a while and thought it might not be a bad idea to take the children with us." Well, for some reason, the idea sounded perfect to Emily. She needed time to decompress, if nothing else. "When would you be leaving?" she asked. "Soon as we can make the arrangements," Mrs. Griswold answered. "After services tonight at earliest." "That soon?" Emily queried. Wheels in her head started to turn. There were a few loose ends which needed to be taken care of before Dan returned. He would return. Tired as she was certain that he would return. "If you go ahead and make the arrangements, I'd appreciate it," Emily continued. "If you leave tonight, I'll come over and help her. I'll need you to come and help me pack. I still have a sermon to write and a number of other chores to tend to." Jane Griswold agreed, telling Emily that she would be back later with details and the girls. Now it was Emily and a blank piece of paper, ready to accept the sermon that she would be preaching that evening. The blank piece of paper sat there, staring her in the face. It mocked her. She got up from the desk to go to the kitchen to get a glass of lemonade. The fact that there wasn't any already made sent her to the freezer to see if she had any frozen lemonade mix. None there either, so she went upstairs to put on something more amenable for a trip to the grocery store. While she changed, she pulled out a different piece of paper and started a grocery list. "Why are grocery lists so easy and sermons so hard?" she asked no one in particular after she added bananas to the list. She took the list downstairs and placed the list next to a blank piece of paper, hoping that somehow the list would migrate into the words she needed for her sermon. No such luck. Her mind wandered back to Dan, then to Eric Cavallo. Was it coincidence or was it by purpose that he would show up at her door at nearly 10 o'clock the night before? She shook off the thought, picked up her list, and headed to Mulligan's. Steve Mulligan himself greeted her while she was in line waiting to check out. "Do you have your talk ready for tonight?" he asked once the pleasantries were out of the way. "I'm stalling," she confessed. "I still have a blank piece of paper at the house." "Would you rather I give the talk?" he asked. She hoped that he would offer. Emily wanted to say yes immediately, but she didn't want to seem overly anxious. "If I still have a piece of blank paper by noon, I'll let you know," she told him. Emily returned home, put up what she had purchased at the market, fidgeted for a few minutes, and then went back into the study where she hoped that the blank piece of paper would have at least few words on it to inspire her to write more. There was no such miracle. She finally relented and called to ask Steve Mulligan to deliver the sermon that evening. He agreed, affirming that she had too much on her plate at that time. Well, with the sermon off the plate, Emily was able to enjoy her lunch with Chloe at Z's Cafe. "Can I share something with you, and can you keep it secret for a short while?" Chloe asked Emily in almost a whisper.
"Sure."
"I think I'm pregnant," Chloe confided. "I thought you might be," Emily smiled. "Have you confirmed it yet?"
"Not yet. I'm driving up to Prentice to see a doctor this afternoon. I was hoping you'd come with me."
"I'd be happy to," she agreed. "Have you taken a home test?"
"No," Chloe answered. "I want to surprise Christopher. Asking him to bring home a test kit would tip him off prematurely."
Emily laughed, knowing that Chloe's husband, Christopher Michaels, ran the downtown drugstore.
"Well, if you want to, I can get you a kit," she offered. "That way you won't be wasting a visit to the clinic."
Chloe accepted Emily's offer and arranged to pick up the kit later in the afternoon. It was another item on Emily's plate, but one she gladly accepted. That's it. Next week is going to be Chapter 19. For Chapter 20, there might be a slight delay on that because we are moving. I'm going to try to have Chapter 20 out of the way in the new place. That's going to be 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. Just to let you know. Anyway, that's about it for now. In the meantime, you have yourself a great week, and we'll see you out there.